Welcome to the Fear Free Podcast, the podcast for veterinary and pet professionals, where we talk about all things animal well-being, behavior, and health. I'm your host, Steve Dale.
Nicole Ellis is a certified fear-free professional, a certified dog trainer, and also a dog trainer for Hollywood. You can see her dogs in movies. Nicole Ellis is here. This is so exciting, Nicole. It is great to finally have the opportunity to meet you. And you happen to have a friend with you. For those of us watching on video, that is who?
This is my dog, Rossi. I have two dogs and a fat horse, but this is one of my dogs and one of my best friends. And I'm Nicole. So excited to be here. So thank you guys for having me.
Nicole, it is a pleasure to talk to you. But for those who may not know you, tell us first about yourself.
I am a certified professional dog trainer, although I've trained horses and cats and lots of other animals, including bears and tigers. But now my main focus is dogs. I work with everything from puppies to service dog, therapy dogs, with the main focus of getting our dogs more involved in our lives. I love teaching our dogs to be well-behaved canine citizens and setting themselves up for events that we might encounter with our dogs. So for me, my dogs come there. Very exciting. So teaching them to relax at cafes. Oh, okay. We're talking a lot today. And setting them up for vet visits and anything else our pets might encounter so that we can have a great bond throughout our life. I also train dogs for movie and TV work. So my own dogs do movie work and I train other animals as well. I am on an Amazon show called The Pack, where we traveled the world with a group of dogs that are competing in various challenges. I know, it's very exciting. And then also, I have a book on working dogs. It's a coffee table book called Working Like a Dog. And I think that's my 10-second spiel.
So tell me a little bit about some of the movies that we can see that maybe your own dog or dogs have clearly had a speaking role in.
He's very excited to talk about it. So he did a Neiman Marcus ad, Rossi, here that you guys just saw if you're watching the video. When he was about 4 months old, he did his first feature film when he was 8 months old with Josh Duhamel and Megan Fox called Think Like a Dog. He was a very red dog and now he's faded and he played a girl, but he didn't mind that. That's completely fine. And then he's done lots of other various ads. Last week, he shot a commercial for Zillow. And he's done a bunch of various treat and dog food companies, everything from clothing brands to dog stuff. So he's just happy to work. So, and I love that.
So more people than ever before are taking their dogs all sorts of different places, whether it be to sit outside or outside maybe a local coffee house or a restaurant that has an outdoor patio or cafe of some kind, or taking the dog on road trips with us. Now we take the dog somewhere the dog has never been before. And expect the dog to sit perfectly quiet or to do something that the dog is ill-prepared to do or not do.
Absolutely. And I think there's various parts of this, and it's a topic I absolutely love because I travel with my dogs a lot, especially Rossi. He's done 7 flights in the last 3 months with me. So he is a very well-traveled dog. And I think people are involving their dogs more as family, more and more, which I absolutely love. And I relate to that very much. And we want to take our dogs places more. So I think there's 2 aspects. And when people start planning a trip, the first thing I say to them to do is think about if your dog will actually enjoy this trip and have we set them up for success for this trip. So if we live in a really quiet town, our dog might not enjoy a trip to a bustling city like New York City. It might be overwhelming. It might be really loud. And also I think of, are we going to be doing activities my dog, 1, can come on, and 2, will my dog enjoy it? A lot of museums, for example, don't allow dogs. Ferry sightseeing tours often don't allow dogs. So, and if they do, not every dog's going to enjoy that, being quiet in a museum, etc. And so is my dog just going to be sitting in their hotel room? And if so, maybe the best option is going to be for them to go to a pet sitter where they could be playing fetch and playing with their dog friends and creating their own bonds. And if our pet's stressed on vacation, often we are stressed. And in the end, that vacation is not very much fun for either of us then. And that stress can go down the road so much to cause intestinal problems with our dogs having diarrhea and just affecting their whole body. And that's where I think we're being a bit selfish. Maybe our pets should just not always come. And then there's the other side of that where there are many trips our pets are set up for and they'll really love it. I do a lot of trips where we just plan hikes and dog-friendly beach visits And I think we create a better bond from those visits, and they have a lot of fun. But I've also set my dogs up for success. So when we go out to pet-friendly restaurants, my dogs are so used to dining with us, it's no big deal. I put down their placemat, and they're so set up for success. And these are things anybody can do. And we can practice ahead of time to ensure our pets set up for success for these vacations and trips. And I think that's a huge thing. And when we did the pack, we did a lot of this and casting our dogs for the show, and that we made them practice around fake camera people that are running, getting in tight quarters, because we didn't want a dog to be stressed out in an elevator even, or while we're filming the show. Our show was about creating this amazing adventure with your dog. And if they're stressed, it's not an amazing adventure for anybody. So I think as we plan and prepare our dogs to come more places with us, think about what our places might be. My dogs go to a lot of places not a lot of dogs would go to, but they're set up for it. So if your goal is just to be able to go to your local coffee shop and hang out, that's amazing. That's a great opportunity. That's something your dog might enjoy. But start at home, start practicing them maybe, and then outside in your backyard or your front porch, just can they relax with the bustling environment there and working them up? And I think a big part of this is looking for those telltale stress signs. And as a lot of us know, the FAS signs to look for. But I see so many dogs out there that are clearly stressed, and we're ignoring those signs. So I think take a look, see if our dog's enjoying, if not, how can we set up the environment to be easier for them and set up that environment so that they succeed and they learn to enjoy it. And you know what? Some dogs might never enjoy some things, and that's okay. We can learn from that and set up a situation at home or where they have a dog you sit or come over, go for a dog walk or something else they enjoy.
All right. So the good news is we have products now that can help us, such as pheromones. So you want to set up that dog for success, right? So this is the time. There's no downside to using Be Serene or a pheromone product such as that to begin with, to start right off with. So you're cutting any potential anxiety. I'll let you take it from there.
So I start simply by creating a positive association with the car. That's with it not moving. Just go in the car and let's have a good time. Maybe that's some belly rubs. Maybe it's getting some treats, a licky mat, licking shown to decrease stress, maybe licking a Kong where they can chew and get some of that anxiety out. And then as you mentioned, pheromones are a great example. I love bringing like a blanket for them to lay on. Spray those pheromones about 20 minutes before we get into the vehicle. And then keep those sessions short. We're going to have a great time and we're going to get out of the car. And then I'm going to slowly build it up where we turn the car on and get out of the car. Turn the car off, obviously. Don't leave your car running. And then get out. And then a lot of times I say, consider making sure your dog is safely enclosed in your car, whether that's a crash-tested kennel or maybe a crash-tested harness or carrier like a sleepy pod. And a lot of dogs have stress and anxiety. That goes down when we start using these products. And dogs do have a fear of falling often. And when we are moving, those seats can be slippery. So I love adding a blanket or mat that's not going to slide around. Give them a little bit of traction. And then by buckling them in, we're also reducing that fear and stress of sliding. And so once we have our pet buckled in comfortably, let's spend some more time getting them comfortable with it. And then we can work up to doing short car rides. Maybe that means someone's in the back seat giving treats to your dog. We're playing calming, relaxing music. And then go for a block, drive around the block. I would never start a dog off with a 2-hour road trip. So we want to make sure they're comfortable before we go head first. And if they see we're doing good, let's go a few other places and go to their favorite places. I don't want their first car ride to be to the veterinarian. As lovely as our veterinarians are, and they're very good friends of mine, it can be stressful for our pets sometimes. So let's go to some of their favorite places. Maybe that's going to the favorite coffee shop where they get a little special pup cup, or taking them on a nice safari at a local park. And we're creating that nice association to the vehicle. And some dogs are stressed in the car because they get car sickness, and that's not a fun feeling. So if you think that's occurring, talk to your veterinarian. There's lots of things they can prescribe and help you with. There's nothing wrong with medications for this. We want to help our pets. We don't want to make them feel sick in the car. It's not going to be fun for anyone, and it's going to help reduce that stress. And oftentimes it can go away later in life. So that's a really nice thing. We can help combat that stress ahead of time. And then from there, we can get ready for road trips and be sure on those road trips, we are taking lots of breaks. They need to move around too. They're not used to sitting still for that long. So I bring a long line, which means a long leash, so we can play fetch, play with some of our favorite toys at the park, and just let everyone get out some of that pent up energy from sitting still in a car ride. And now if I'm jumping into traveling itself, I say I practice lots of behaviors that I'm going to have to do on my trip. So if I know my dog's going to be dining out with me, for example, I love to teach a dog's a place and a settle, which I teach with like an ottoman, even a rolled up blanket, and I reward the dog for going there, and we're going to build up duration. And something important here is I often see people giving lots and lots of bones and chew sticks on these places, and that can be beneficial at start, but I love giving treats and then just giving a break, giving another treat, because we want the dogs to learn to relax. We don't want them to sit there going, I need another bone. I've been taught to keep chewing bones and keep chewing bones. And this is something I see even at conferences where a lot of dog trainers bring their dogs. And I want my dog just to understand the place is down. He can relax. Nothing's expected of him. This is a nice, relaxing time. And by continuously giving them things to chew on nonstop, we're teaching them, keep working, keep doing things, keep doing things. And that's not my desired behavior, because I want to be able to go out to eat and my dog to relax. And I can just know he's comfortable and safe.
So I want to talk about cats a little bit. You mentioned a secret word that I love so much, and that is sleepy pod. Sleepy pods are amazing. I love them. And if the trip is comfortable, then the cat is more likely to do it. Talk a little bit about cats, though, about getting cats to the veterinary clinic.
Absolutely. And there's actually a lot we can do to set our cats up for success for going to the vet. First of all, obviously, I'm a big proponent of going to a fear-free veterinarian. It's what my own animals go to. And what I don't think a lot of people realize, at least at mine, is the cat room and the dog room are in two different rooms. So my vet I go to, they even have a cat treat in there. And I think that's so amazing because they're not selling the dog smells from them being stressed out. They're in a specific room for them. And so I love taking small kitties or even a newly adopted cat and going for a nice visit and just spending some time at the vet where nothing's going to happen to them. And we can just roam the little kitty room for 10 minutes and then go home. And I say, just like dogs have their favorite treats, so do cats. So this is where we're going to bring our boiled chicken, some churro, all our cats' favorite things. See what works for your kitty and set up them for success. But also for these vet visits, I think success starts at home. So we talked about sleepy pod briefly. And the sleepy pod carriers, there's three different ones, I believe. They all open up to be like a den-like environment or a bed. So set that up at home so it becomes something comfortable. So that carrier's first visit shouldn't be to the vet. Obviously, we're not going to the dog park with them, but set it up at home because that's where cats are most comfortable. And we can play games by tossing in their favorite treats, their favorite toys, their favorite balls. And I've heard a lot of great success stories of people putting like tissue paper and like crumpled up paper we get with all the packages we buy in these carriers because cats love to rustle around in that. And that makes it more inviting. And then when we go to the vet, we can take that bed that's comfortable with them to the car. That makes our car ride less stressful. And that also makes our vet visit less stressful. And I think one of my favorite personal features of the sleepy pod carriers for cats is they actually have the weight printed on them now. So our stressed out kitties and puppies, but kitties can stay right in their bed. We don't need to force them out. And that's where cats often get nervous is when we're like trying to get them out to weigh them and examine them. And here we can open up all the carriers fully, examine them in it, and the tear weight's on there. So we don't need to take them out. And they can stay in that comfort place. And we're not increasing that stress there, which I think is so incredibly important for them. They like to stay curled up in their safe spot. So let's give them that. And by having that bed, we're giving them something that they're familiar with, that they've already used many times at home. So I just say, leave it out like it's a piece of your furniture. And then going to the vet's going to be a lot easier.
So we can, and years ago, we did wrangle dogs, the veterinary professionals, to get them in a place that we could do a blood withdrawal or whatever we needed to do, right?
Absolutely.
Cats, same thing. You can't wrestle a horse down. So talk about fear-free and horses. Just a little bit.
Absolutely. I have a horse that actually doesn't love the vet. So this has been a journey of mine a little bit. And setting him up for expectations has been huge. I've clicker trained my horse so I can help him learn behaviors like lifting his head and other things he needs. and he gets injections for his joints. And I've set him up for success by teaching him and getting him used to touching him in those spots and rewarding him. And I give him a word ahead of time, so he understands what is going to happen. And that helps reduce the stress versus somebody coming up and just jabbing him with a needle. And I communicate this with my vets. They come over and they know he loves cookies. So we have some extra time where he's going to get his favorite cookies. And it helps if they are not in normal vet clothing. So my vets know this and they set him up to be good about this. And we have a team. We're just going to spend a few minutes petting him. And what really helps with my horses, they often pick up his feet like a farrier would do. This is something my horse is very, very used to. Getting his shoes done, no big deal. Going to a vet, stressful for him. So we start by picking up his feet. It mimics a little bit of the fair thing, and he feels like he's in a routine and he understands, and we can set the expectation for him. And after that, he's a much, much calmer horse. I also make sure he's gone out that day and gone for a nice ride and gotten out some of that pent up energy. Just like my dog, if he hasn't done anything, he's like raring to go. My horse is the same way. So I think there is a fine line though. People just with dogs can easily run an animal to exhaustion. And I would not say that makes it a good horse, but going out for a nice ride where he can stretch his legs and go for a run is going to help relieve that stress later on and get it out. And I think we're the same way. Sometimes I need a nice walk outside too. So if I know I'm going to have a stressful day, I'm going to take my dog for a walk, help my mind. And that's the same with my horse. Set him up for that visit. And then talking about advocating for pets, I am a big fan of touching my dog and cat clients all over, getting them used to being handled. And I think this is something that often from a training perspective, we're so excited to teach tricks and behaviors and healing well. But I start with all my puppy and new dog clients, get your dog used to being handled. And that's in a nice, positive way. So get them used to touching their paws and their ears, because I don't want to go to the vet and that's the first time anybody's looked at my dog's teeth or touched his ears. Because if I was an animal, I'd be nervous. So I'm sure my dog is too. So I've checked my dog's teeth all the time just for fun. I just pick up his lips, give him a treat. And now anybody can do it. And he doesn't move a muscle. So set him up. And then doing so, you're going to learn what your dog doesn't like. Like a lot of dogs don't love the tip of their tails touched. Some do, but a lot of dogs don't. So if you know your vet's going to be doing it all over your pet, just give him a heads up. He's a little more sensitive on his paw pads. He's a little more sensitive on his tail. We can go a little bit slower there. And your vet doesn't know. They see tons and tons of animals. So as a pet parent, advocate for your cat or dog on what is easy for them and what isn't easy for them. And I think we often forget how simple that is and what a big thing it is. And we're so excited to teach a chin rest and other behaviors that are very useful in veterinary care. And I teach all those behaviors. But it really just all starts with handling. And if your pet's not being used to handled by someone else as well, if you have a friend come over, have them run their hand over your dog while you're giving some delicious cookies. Because it's a bit different for the pet owner to do it versus somebody else.
Absolutely. I may say dog or cat, actually.
Yes.
For all of that.
Dog, cat, or horse.
Or horse. I've got my saddle. I'm ready to go.
Okay, let's do it, Steve. Let's hit the mountains.
It would be physical comedy to see me on a horse. I've ridden horses. I have fallen off horses, but that's a whole other story. Nicole Ellis, what a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you for joining us for the Fear Free podcast. We hope you continue to tune in as we talk with top experts to explore evidence-based practices that promote both physical and emotional health in the animals we love and care for. Make sure you subscribe to avoid missing out on any of the upcoming Fear Free episodes. And if you've enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you take a minute and leave us a review. Also, check out our sister Fear Free podcast, Happy Paws, that teaches pet guardians science-based strategies to better understand the animals they live with and guides us guardians in humane relationship building strategies that help to improve behavior and let our pets live out the happiest, healthiest lives possible. For more content like this, visit fearfreepets.com. Our music is by 310. That's the number 3, the word 1, and the word O. Follow them on Instagram at 310official and listen to them on Spotify or wherever else you happen to find your music. With that, I'm Steve Dale wishing you a great day.